Morning. It is lovely to be with you this morning and to have had such a lovely welcome. Lots of smiley faces, that's good. I hope you're still smiling in an hour's time. So my name is Rachel and I am the minister at Burton Latimer Baptist Church, and I've been there since July. I know the congregation well. I've worked for the church previously as their community and family worker. And I will shortly have finished my training to be a recognised minister. But it's always nice to come to somewhere different and to meet new people and to share worship together. And before we begin, we have a response, a call to worship. So if we could have the screen, I'm going to move back a little bit so that you can see behind me. So if you could say the words in the darker type, then we'll begin our worship. Healing God, we come together in our brokenness to call you in your mercy to make us whole again. Wholeness-giving God, listen to our prayers, we pray. Restoring God, we gather to worship you even as we hopefully seek to be renewed and restored again. God, our quiet centre, listen to our prayers this day. Foundational God, we come to praise and thank you. In the depths of your holy being, we find peace and rest. God, our beginning and our end, we hope always in you. Amen. So we move on now to sing our first hymn. It's number 385, Jesus, the name high over all. Please stand as you are able. Do you ever cry? Of course you do. So, what is something that makes you cry? Sorry?
Cruelty.
Absolutely. Sometimes just watching the news is enough to make us cry, isn't it? So I made a list of some things that can make us cry, and I wonder if any of them have ever happened to you. Put your hand up if you've ever hurt yourself so badly it's made you cry. I have many times. Many times. Put your hand up if you have ever been so sad that the only thing you could do was cry. Put your hand up if somebody has hurt you and you have cried. And put your hand up if you have ever cried because somebody else was crying. We all just join in, don't we? Sometimes we might make other people cry because of the things we do or say. And when that happens, we need to try and say sorry and to make sure we don't do it again. Can we have the next slide, please? There we go. Some of the things that might make us cry: anger, frustration, joy. We can cry because we're happy. We can cry because we're tired, children particularly. We can cry because we finally got to meet somebody that we haven't seen for a really long time. We all cry. It is a healthy and good thing to do. And Jesus cried. The shortest verse in the Bible is two words. Jesus wept. He cried. And I know of at least three times in the Bible when Jesus cried. He cried when he prayed for others. It says in Hebrews, while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with loud cries and tears. The Bible tells us that Jesus cried when he saw people who were missing out on what God wanted for them. Luke tells us that as Jesus approaches Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, I wish that even today you would find the way of peace, but now it is too late and peace is hidden from you. Another time, the Bible tells us that Jesus cried when friends of his were hurting. Jesus had a friend named Lazarus who became very, very ill, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, asked Jesus to come and to heal Lazarus. But when Jesus arrived, Lazarus had already died. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus saw Mary crying because her brother had died, he cried too. But that isn't all that happened. And this is a little part of what happened next. And in a little while, we're going to hear more of this account. So Jesus went with Mary and Martha to visit the tomb where Lazarus had been buried. And when they arrived, Jesus said to some of the men who were with them, take the stone away. And then he calls, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus walks out of the grave. And I imagine that when she saw that, Mary's tears of sadness turned to tears of joy. Sometimes we only think that we need to cry when we're sad, but we cry when we are happy too. We all cry. And I'm glad that Jesus cried too, and I'm sure that he still weeps over us today. I am thankful that his love for us is so deep that he hurts when we hurt. He feels our pain. He sees our tears and he comforts us in our sadness. And even in our darkest moments, Jesus brings us hope. You don't need a lot of light to chase the darkness away. And we're going to sing again a song that reminds us about the light of Jesus that can take away our darkness, that can shine so brightly in our world that people can't help but notice it, but that Jesus needs us to shine that light again as well. So please stand as you are able. We're going to sing together, Shine Jesus Shine. Lovely. We're going to spend some time in prayer. Let's pray together, and then afterwards we'll say the Lord's Prayer. Loving God, we come to offer you our praise and our thanks. Thank you for this new day. Thank you for the food we've eaten this morning, for the ability to come to church freely and without fear, for the privilege of being able to worship you. Thank you for the things in our lives that bring us joy, that make us happy, that enrich our lives. Our friends and our family here, the people that we know that help us, the people that care for us and look after us. Thank you that we are blessed with more than we realize. that we have all we need, that you provide for us because you care for us and you love us deeply and passionately. And we are sorry, Lord, that we don't say thank you enough. That we only say thank you when we think about it or when we're reminded about it. We are sorry that we don't always take the opportunities you give us to share your love with other people. That sometimes we might react in ways that don't show your love. That we might walk by, assume that somebody else will do it. Help us to always have our eyes and ears open for where you are leading and prompting us. Help us to not walk by, to be willing to serve and act. Lord, we know that when we come to you and say we are sorry, you will offer your forgiveness. But that with that, you demand us to do better. And that we can do that with your help. We thank you for this beautiful world, full of joy and wonder, for the creation that you have blessed us with, from the highest mountain to the tiniest insect. They're part of your design, your creation, your gift to us. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, sent because you love us, and to offer his life for us, to take away the things we have done that we should not have done, and to offer us the gift of new life. Thank you, Lord. We ask these prayers in your name. Amen. And we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to hear our reading now.
Already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Thank you. The Old Testament reading today is the account in Ezekiel of the dry bones, when God breathed new life into dry bones. And we know that Jesus can breathe new life into us, into situations and into places where we think things are not working and are dying. And our next hymn is about exactly that. We're going to sing, O Breath of Life. So if you could stand as you are able and we'll sing together.
Thank you.
the reading that we've heard today is from a much longer account of the story of Lazarus, the death and resurrection of Lazarus. And given the time of year that we are coming to, next Sunday is Palm Sunday, you can't help but draw some parallels between the story of Lazarus and what we know Jesus is going to go and encounter in Jerusalem. We can't ignore the fact that Jesus was praying for and brought Lazarus back to life at the same time as him being aware of what he was walking to in Jerusalem. So in our journey through Lent, it makes sense that we take some time to consider this account of Lazarus and what it might be saying to us today. And because the reading is so long, and because of the subject matter that it deals with, there is a lot that you could take out of this reading. Very often we focus just on the death and resurrection aspect of it, and we scratch our heads over the theological meaning. We get bogged down with the practicalities of the account, and we see it simply as a story of Jesus performing another miracle. We could focus on Jesus' statement, "I am the resurrection and the life." We could think about his decision to delay going to Lazarus. We could consider Jesus' relationship with Mary and Martha, the reaction and the understanding of the disciples, and a lot more besides. But today, however, I would like us to think about three statements that Jesus makes towards the end of this account that we heard a few moments ago. Seemingly innocent words, but with a huge amount of meaning, and I believe a lot that says to us today. Nothing Jesus ever said was simply just words. Each word had a meaning, and we overlook them at our own risk. So let's set the scene. Jesus knew Lazarus, Martha, and Mary well. We read about the encounters with them in the Bible. And in this account, John classes them as dear friends of Jesus. Word reaches Jesus that Lazarus is gravely ill and close to death. We don't know what the condition is that has caused him to be so ill. But rather than going straight away to see Lazarus, Jesus goes to Judea. And even with the tortoise-like speed of first century communications, this is a long delay. I wonder if it had something to do with the proximity of Bethany, where Lazarus, Mary, and Martha lived, to Jerusalem, a couple of miles away. Or was it because Jesus needed the certainty of death to show the miracle of the resurrection and to offer his disciples and his friends an idea of what was yet to come? Jesus delays for 2 days, and when he arrives in Bethany, Lazarus has died and has been buried. And due to the climate of the area, burials were done very quickly after death and in accordance with Jewish custom. It was believed that the soul remained in the body for 3 days after death. But Jesus arrives when it seems that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. So surely nothing can be done. It's too late. But to Jesus, our understanding of too late does not exist. He can bring dead dreams and hopeless situations back to life. Martha, in true style, lays into Jesus, blaming him for Lazarus's death, a reaction that I'm sure many of us would have had. Grief is a powerful and frequently irrational beast as we try to make sense of the unimaginable. Then they travel to Lazarus's grave, a chamber carved from rock with a stone placed in front. And here Jesus displays deep human emotion. He cries. He weeps openly, unashamedly, is angry, and John tells us is deeply troubled. And despite knowing that he would raise Lazarus, Jesus cries when he sees Mary and others broken by grief, demonstrating that he is not distant from our pain, but he is intimately empathetic with us. When we hurt, he hurts. And whether it's through grief or dismay at their lack of understanding, we don't know. But then Jesus issues three instructions that change everything. Firstly, Jesus instructs the people standing around to roll the stone aside. There should be a slide with that on somewhere. There we go. Take away the stone. Mary's worried about the smell, understandably. But rolling away the stone is something that Lazarus couldn't do for himself. He was dead. He needed other people to help him and to intervene on his behalf. Just as we need one another, not just at the hardest and the lowest points in our lives, but every day, we are designed to live in community. And sometimes we have to help people roll the stones away that are trapping people in place. Lazarus was trapped. Jesus could do nothing until that stone was rolled away. And the same is true for us. So what stones do we have that are trapping us in place? Habits, addictions, behaviours, past hurts, beliefs, and so much more can trap us in a place where we cannot fully embrace the love that Jesus has for us. He can't get to us if we have a stone trapping us in place. Sometimes they are external stones. They are things that are physically or medically preventing us. Sometimes they are internal stones that we keep in place because we're afraid of what might happen if we roll them away. Maybe, if this is us, we might need to ask others to help roll the stones away. Then, the big instruction to Lazarus, which should come up on a slide. Back one. That's the one. So imagine the faces of the people that are there. They've rolled the stone away. And then Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. Chins on the floor, I am certain. A dead man being told to come out of a tomb. Impossible, surely. But this is Jesus, and for him, nothing is impossible. Finally, out comes Lazarus, a shuffling, sightless figure wrapped in his grave clothes, alive. This was an instruction that only Lazarus could follow. A personal invitation to new life, literally. The same instruction is given to us. Come out. When we're stuck in a dead place, it can quickly become our comfort zone. We barricade ourselves in it for fear of challenge or change, but that doesn't serve God. Fear can be paralyzing, holding us in place because it will bring change. It will demand something new or hard of us or require us to face a new challenge. This new life we are called to in Jesus holds a great deal of uncertainty. How will we cope? What will we be asked to do? But like Lazarus, we are the only one who can respond to this instruction to come out of whatever is holding us in place or keeping us stuck and take the risk the new life holds. So what do our tombs look like? The places that are keeping us stuck. Then the final command. Jesus says to the crowd, unbind him. Let him go. Seems obvious when we look back on it, because Lazarus can't freely move. He still has the grave clothes on. He can't unbind himself. He needs the help of others. But this is about so much more than just removing the physical wrappings that were holding him stuck. It is a deeply symbolic movement, showing that movement from death to life, casting off what no longer is needed and stepping out into new life. And I think this says something about our Christian life and what Jesus can do for us now. Before Jesus could bring Lazarus fully back to life, he needs unbinding from all of the things that are stopping him from living life fully. Not just the disease that killed him. We don't know what it was for Lazarus. So what are our grave clothes? What are the things binding us and stopping us from moving freely? What is tying us to our old life? What are we holding on to? Habits, thoughts, attitudes, beliefs that no longer serve us, tie us down, even after we have received new life in Christ. They are remnants of our old selves, and we don't need them anymore. It is a process, though, and it won't happen overnight. As we walk with Jesus, we're able to shed our grave clothes and walk in freedom with him. The miracle of Lazarus is about so much more than bringing somebody back from physical death. It reminds us of the power that Jesus has over all the things that bind us, and that he specializes in bringing life to places that seem beyond repair. But don't forget that Lazarus needed help to achieve this. He needed others to help unbind him, and we do too. This is what spiritual community is about, what church family is about. Walking together, encouraging, praying, and caring for each other. And we can all play a powerful role in helping each other shed our grave clothes. Our faith and our walk with Jesus offers us a life-giving relationship. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, only found in the person of Jesus. And he not only gives us the instruction to come out, to be unbound, to remove the stone, but the promise that he will help us through this process of becoming. It's not just a story of one person miraculously given some extra time with his family. This is a promise that Jesus will unbind us offer us new life and release us from the things trapping us. What God makes alive is up to us to unbind. And this is not just a small miracle, but it's seen around us in tangible ways. It is God's work in our world now. It is our work for ourselves, for each other here and in our community. So let's help people roll away the stones, unbind those in our community who are struggling, facing challenges, who are trapped by circumstance. Let's be the people who show hope and love and service to those who cannot move their own stones or take care of what's binding them. And as we move closer to Holy Week, we can see just how much Jesus has to let go of as he approaches the cross and the emptiness of the grave. It is the only way that leads to the new life that he promises and then fulfills in glory on Easter morning. Amen. We move towards communion, and before we do so, let's pray together our prayers of intercession. Loving God, who always listens to us, who breathes new life into us, call us forward to resurrection. We are surrounded by a world of dry bones, a world of death and despair, a world where we lose hope in our structures, in ourselves, and in you. We pray for this world in need of your word, for all the people in it. We remember especially those in the Middle East, in Ukraine, in places where there is conflict and anger and hurt. We pray for those who lay down their lives. We pray for those who lead. Guide them in the ways of peace, Lord. God, who always listens to us, who breathes new life into us, call us forward to resurrection. We are surrounded by people with dried up lives, people unable to see your life past their tears. We pray for this world in need of your healing presence. For those who are imprisoned or alone. For those who are ill or infirm or grieving. Those who are trapped by addiction, illness, situations. God, who always listens to us, who breathes new life into us, call us forward to resurrection. We are spellbound by those dry bones, terrified of the smell of death, and too often dumbfounded to call forth life in your name. We pray for your chosen people, your church, all gathering today to worship you all over the world. We pray for the courage to follow you. Through the times of trial and to the new creation. God, who always listens to us and who breathes new life into us, call us forward to resurrection. Call us to follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. We sing together our communion hymn, Broken for Me. Please stand as you are able as we sing.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us. Thank you for the seasons, the spring, the recent sunshine, the flowers, the birds, and the beautiful world you have given us. Please forgive us for not looking after it properly. Thank you that in this troubled world and in the difficult and uncertain times that we live in, we know that you are in control. Thank you that you came as a man and died for us, suffering on the cross, so that our sins can be forgiven and we can know you. Help us, Lord, to know you better, to love you more, to serve you more, and to know your peace, love, and grace. Thank you for this communion service and the chance to come away from our busy lives and remember what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Our communion service today will have some responses and the words will appear on the screen. The bolder type words, if you could please respond with. So we begin our communion service by praying together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins before God as we say together. Father eternal, giver of light and grace, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in what we have thought, in what we have said and done, through ignorance, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. We are sorry and ashamed, and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and lead us out from darkness to walk as children of light. Amen. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need help and mercy. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loves you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ. For we are his body. For I received from the Lord what he delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We eat the bread as we are served. Thank you. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We will retain the cups until all are served. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. We pray together with the words on the screen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gates of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing our closing hymn. Please stand as you are able as we sing together the words of "And Can It Be?" Thank you. come out, Jesus commands and calls us from the tombs of our existence into the brightness of a new day. So go out into a world that needs our life, our breath and our spirit. Go out into the world and live as God's resurrected people. Go out and go on the breath of God's holy wind. We bless one another with the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. You're very welcome, thank you.
Nice to meet you.
And you too.
At last.
Yes.
Well, yeah. We wanted to come over to the induction, but it was limited before it.
Don't worry, we get there eventually, don't we?
Are you into Mance?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you married?
I am.
Oh, super. Yes. Children?
Yes. Two. Grown up.
Oh, right. So. Well, you're not that old, do you?
Oh, thank you.